You can shout glory to God about the grace of God from the very beginning of time to the very end of time. And I'm thankful that I have experienced the grace of God. Has anybody else here in this sanctuary experienced the grace of God? Amen. Hallelujah. So thankful that have the opportunity to preach the word of God and praying for Pastor. You pray for us, and as we try to stand in, of course, there is no replacement any way, form, or fashion for Brother Joe Arthur, but I just want to do the very best I can for the Lord Jesus Christ and to be able to help our pastor out at this time. Been praying over this for quite a while, and boy, this message has been real on my heart for many, many years. As a matter of fact, Brother Landon, believe it or not, the very first time I ever preached was out of this passage. And God has helped us so many times with this passage, and it means something to me. Ezra chapter number 9, look at verse number 8 with me. The book of Ezra chapter number 9, the verse number 8, we'll read one verse. And it says, "And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape." "And to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God might lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." My heavens, I tell you, this verse just absolutely just jumps out to me. Boy, I don't know if you've ever done this, experienced this. You've been reading your Bible, then all of a sudden a verse just kind of just goes 3D on you. Am I the only one that's this happened to? It kind of goes 3D on you, and I don't understand, but the words just kind of just seem to do amazing things that an iPad can't even do for you. Glory to God. But boy, this verse just jumps out to me, and I see so many great things that we have. But here in the book of Ezra, Ezra is going through some difficult times, and Israel has been in captivity for the last 70 years. And now he's saying, "And now for a little space, now we're getting some grace put on us, because we've been in trouble, we've been in problems, we've had issues, but now we're getting a little bit of grace." And they have now been allowed, I say that by quotations, because God already knew what was going to take place. God already had written what was going to take place. Hopefully those of you that have been in the book of Daniel study, y'all remember going through the 70 weeks. This here is exactly what we're seeing, the decrees that began to happen is what's happening with Cyrus. And then, of course, in Isaiah chapter number 44, verse number 28, it says this, "That saith Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure." God is saying he's going to do what I tell him to do. And that's the God we serve. He is a sovereign God. He is a mighty God. He is a wonderful God. And we look through that, and he's saying that he will perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, "Thou shalt be built, and the temple and the foundation shall be laid." So hundreds of years before this is taking place, Isaiah is already writing that this is going to take place. And so the people of Israel, I love how there's a cycle that goes through. And to be honest with you, it's a wonderful picture of the Christian life, it seems like. There's a cycle that happens as you get on fire for God. And then you might just get off and get cool off a little bit. And then something begins to happen. And then you cry out to God. And God gives you a deliverance again. And especially in the book of Judges, there's just that big cycle. And seems like the people of God were doing that even during the Old Testament times. They had returned to Jerusalem. They had set up the altar. They had laid the foundations of the temple. They had gotten everything going. And then Satan goes to work. Now let me tell you, and I don't want to discourage you, but if you begin to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan is going to start working in your life. He's going to start trying to fight against something that you're doing and something that he does not want done for the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we have the fact that he's going and Satan goes to work and he's trying to push and he's trying to stop the temple and trying to stop. But then the people of God band together under Nehemiah. 52 days later, they build a wall all the way around the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, and they finish the temple, and they're going through, and they go through to do all that. But then the king begins to suspend the work on the temple and say, well, wait a minute, we may not need to do that now. And then the priests go to the king, and then they receive permission once again. Let's go to work back on the temple. And then Satan goes to work again. Anybody had that go in your life? You start doing something for the Lord Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden, Satan goes to work in your life and tries to start pushing you and trying to tell you that you can't make it. But glory to God, the God we serve is greater than Satan, praise the Lord. God that we serve is greater than any that we can ever think of. And thank God that He is more powerful and He is on our side. I'm glad that He's on my side. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Everybody likes to win. And thank God we get to win in the end. Boy, it doesn't seem like we're having a good time right now, but we may be fighting for everything that we have, but Satan is fighting against us, but greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Boy, then Darius comes along and allows to continue that work, and that temple begins to be rebuilt, and it is finally completed. Boy, then they're sitting there, but then everything says they're done. They get settled on their lease. Have you ever gotten so happy that everything's going so fine in my life, everything's so going so great, and then you decide, but maybe I don't need so much God in my life? That's when we need God the most. We need to continue to be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in our text verse, Ezra 9:8, is that's exactly what he's telling us. And Ezra's beginning to pray. Thank God for praying people. I pray that you pray on a daily basis. I pray that you pray on an hourly basis. Because I'll be honest with you, living in Atlanta, you need to pray often. I'll be honest with you, especially if you drive around, you've got to pray often. Pray that the, as Brother Joe says, may the fleas of 1,000 camel infest the armpits of that man that just cut me off. Nobody else prays that? Praise the Lord. But thank God for a praying person. Praying man. The man of God begins to go to praying. And why? Why would he want to go ahead and start praying now? Because he finds himself in the middle of perilous times. Well, there's difficult times that the people of God don't seem to be doing exactly what they're doing. Ezra has found himself right there in that perilous time that those walls had been built and everything's fine around me. And the temple is already there. The house of God is set up and everything seems to be going. But then there's problems in the church house. There's problems within the people of God. And they need something to happen. In the perilous times that are taking place around, he says, hey, I need to do something about this. And I'll be honest with you folks, as a Christian, as a child of God, we need to do something in the perilous times that we are in the midst of right now. Boy, you look around and you see that the wars that are happening and you see that the turmoil that's happening, you see that our own country can't get along. It doesn't matter. One side hates the other side hates the other, and some of them even hate each other. If it don't matter what side you're on, and here we have it, there's perilous times, but you know what? Ezra decides that it needs to be prayer time. And that's what he begins to do here in Ezra chapter number 9. I want you to look with me, look at verse number 5, and he begins to do this prayer. And at evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord. Boy, you get in that position, glory to God. And said, oh my God, I'm ashamed and blush to lift my face to thee. Boy, have you ever gotten to a place where you're just absolutely ashamed to even try to talk to God? Boy, this is where he is, and he's saying, boy, the people of this world, the people of this country, the people that your people, boy, he looks at it and he says, and our iniquity are increased over our head, and our trespasses is grown up under the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in a great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we. Our kings and our priests have delivered into the hand of the kings of the land to the sword and captivity and to the spoil and to the confusion of face as to this day. But look at this. It takes a turn. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God. Not from the people that they've been battling with. It's not the grace that they have there. It's not from the place that the people that have been going against them and battling against them. But it is a little space of grace that is being shown by the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty. I'm thankful that grace is much more abounding here than any day before. Glory to God. And look on it, it says, and to leave a remnant. Thank God for a family. And to give a nail in His holy place. Thank God for that nail, that our God may enlighten our eyes, how He opens our eyes to be able to see and to give us a little reviving in our bondage. Boy, prayer time begins to turn into something else. I'll be honest with you. Perilous times calls us prayer time, but then when prayer time gets real, it turns into praise time. I have been there where I've been lowly and I've been in the middle of trials and tribulations, but then all of a sudden I just fall down on my knees and I spread myself before God, and then all of a sudden I feel like praising Him. All of a sudden I feel like lifting up my hand. All of a sudden I feel like saying glory to God. Boy, You are worthy. You are wonderful. You are gracious. You are kind. You are God. You're the Savior of the world. Thank God that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, is showing grace to us. And I just want to praise Him. I'll be honest with you. That's my favorite pastime. Praising Jesus. I'll be honest. Have y'all ever driven down the road and got happy? One of them good old songs goes on, and all of a sudden you start praising God, and then somebody's looking at you like you done. I just go to waving. Glory to God. I roll the window down. They run the red light. I don't even know what's going on. I don't know why in the world. I'm just praising God. I'm just enjoying Jesus Christ. I'm just enjoying a good time with my Lord and my Savior. And boy, we just get into that prayer time and those perilous times that we have. But praise time takes place. I'm so glad that we have. But you look in our text. I want you to look at some things that God is giving to each and every one of us. And I won't keep you long. I'll get you out maybe before noon tomorrow. Amen. Amen. Very first thing, some people's thinking, oh, he's serious. I can tell. It's all right. Very first thing that I see, and now, for a little space of grace hath He showed from the Lord our God. Thank God for grace. Thank God for the goodness of God. Thank God for forgiveness of Jesus Christ. The very first thing that I see, and the very first thing that we need to experience, is the forgiveness of sin in each and every one of our lives. We need to have the forgiveness of God. Boy, you think about this. I've thought about this many times, that justice is getting or receiving what you deserve. If you get justice, if I get a ticket for running through that red light, I get what I deserve, justice. Let's don't talk about those little traffic lights at the school zones. Move on. Justice. You get or receive what you deserve. But then there's mercy. Mercy is not receiving what you do deserve. So therefore, I deserve something, but then maybe that police officer might have a little bit of kindness on me. Or either I call Sister Joanna, one or the other. Glory to God. No, I hadn't done that. Hadn't done that yet. Yet. But then there's grace. Boy, you think about justice is receiving what you deserve. Mercy is not receiving what you do deserve. But grace is receiving what you do not deserve. Hallelujah. I don't deserve heaven, but because of the grace of God. I don't deserve salvation, but because of the grace of God. I don't deserve, glory to God, to be able to spend time here on this earth and enjoy the great things that God has given, but because of the grace of God. I don't deserve the forgiveness of sin, but because of the grace of God. I don't deserve a lot of things. And Mom, let's be honest with you, I'm preaching to a lot of people that don't deserve the grace of God, but thank God that because of the grace of God, you get to go to heaven. Because of the grace of God, you get the forgiveness of sin. Thank God that He takes that away from each and every one of us when we place our faith and trust in Him. I'll think back to Genesis chapter number 6. Noah is there and he begins to ask this question. Boy, what is going to happen in this world? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't deserve it, but thank God that God gave it to him. His family didn't deserve it, but thank God God gave it to him. We don't deserve what we've got through the Lord Jesus Christ, but thank God He has given it to us. Boy, the experience of forgiveness. I experienced forgiveness a long, long time ago. I'm thankful for that when I was a six-year-old little boy. Now, I know there's a lot of people that get tired of hearing me talk about the day I got saved. But I'll be honest with you. I'm still excited about the day I got saved. I'm still excited that Jesus Christ saved my soul. I'm still excited that God forgave me of my sin. I'm still excited that the grace of God has been experienced in my life. I'm so glad that when I knelt down on that little altar, boy, when I was a six-year-old little boy tugging on my daddy's coattail, it wasn't because of daddy's coattail, but it was because of the grace of God. It wasn't because of our singing or anything like that, but it's because of the grace of God. It wasn't anything that I would have done, the works that we tried to do, but it's the grace of God. Hallelujah. Sorry, I'm so excited on Sunday morning. Maybe I should be more dignified. Oh, hallelujah. The forgiveness of God is so great. The experience that we received. In Ephesians chapter number 1, it says this in verse number 17, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins. Why? Because the blood was shed on Calvary. We got the forgiveness of sins. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Ha! Even the forgiveness of sins. Are you seeing a pattern? I'm seeing a pattern, Brother Landon. I'm seeing the fact that where the blood is, there's forgiveness. Where the blood is, God has already given forgiveness. Glory to God. Aren't you so glad that Jesus Christ washed you? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I experienced that forgiveness when I was just a little boy. But thank God I still experience it on a daily basis. Thank God that He forgives me when I come up short for Him. He still forgives me every step of the way. He hasn't said to me not one time, Brother Landon, you've gone too far this time. You've done too much this time. I'm tired of you coming to me all the time and asking for forgiveness. Glory to God. He says it's covered under the blood, and where the blood is, forgiveness is. Hallelujah. Then we have the enjoyment of grace that we have. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 17 says it this way, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of what? Grace, hallelujah, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in one life by one, Jesus Christ. Go a couple of more verses down in Romans chapter number 5, verse number 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, hallelujah, glory to God, grace did much more abound. Boy, the forgiveness that we have when we look at Ezra chapter number 9, verse number 8. It's an amazing thing to be able to see that. But I'm hurrying. Look with me now. I've been preaching to get to this right here. Look with me. There's a fastener. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have a forgiveness, but we have a fastener. Look at Ezra chapter number 9, verse number 8. Now for this little space, grace hath been shown from God our Lord, our God, to leave us a remnant to escape. And to what? To give us a nail in His holy place. Boy, I like to call that the nail of grace, the fastener that is there. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. You say, how in the world did a nail get placed in there? Well, all I can imagine is that when Jesus Christ gave up the ghost, He took a hammer and one of those things that they tried to take Him and put Him onto a cross with. And He took that nail and He began to go into the Holy of Holies after the veil rent, glory to God. And He began to put that nail and begin to have that fastener. Boy, it holds on to me. The great high priest walks in and does that in that steadfast place. Boy, the place that I love this, to be tethered to. Has anybody ever been bungee jumping? God bless you if you're crazy enough to do that. I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare. But the amazing thing to me is, Brother Tom, that when they tether you to something. Now, see, this is when I used to work in construction. I would be put up on those high lifts, and they would put this big harness around you, and then you'd have this little string that would go. Well, it had to be a big string for a man my size, but it was a string that held you, and it held you, went ahead and clipped onto something else. Glory. So when you clip onto that, you got that harness. The harness is salvation, praise God. And what I hook on to is the Savior. See what has to, glory to God. See what has to happen is that when you're tethered to something, you got to hooked up to something that's bigger, stronger, mightier, greater than you. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that one day I got hooked up. I got tethered, glory to God, to something bigger and greater and stronger and mightier than me. Boy, there's nothing like the Savior Jesus Christ. Boy, that nail that's in that holy place. Boy, he sat there and that you have that. You have to hold on. Glory to God. You think about this too. I'm going everywhere. Did you know that when I hook up to that, I don't have to worry about it anymore? It holds on to me. I don't have to hold on to it. And isn't it wonderful to know that nothing can take me out of the hand of God. Nothing can take me from the salvation that Jesus Christ has done to me. Boy, I can go into that Holy of Holies. Why? There's a fastener that's there because I have access to it. Why? Because when Jesus Christ died, he opened up that spot. No more do I have to pray to a high priest. No more do I have to go to a preacher. No more do I have to go to anybody else. I can go directly to the Savior. I can go directly to my God. I can go directly to the one that has saved me. The nail that is fastened in that holy place. I hold on to Jesus, and Jesus holds on to me. Well, the access that I could go in there now, and they I can. Brother Tom, I'm sorry. I'm trying to hurry. I'm trying to hurry. Come here, Brother Tom. Come here, Brother Tom. Hey, can you do me a favor?
Right.
No, just careful which finger. All right, there you go. There you go. There you go. Glory to God. Now, y'all got filthy minds, I tell you. Here we have the Holy of Holies. And I know, glory to God, we have Jesus. By the time you're going to be Jesus. Hallelujah. So with the nail of grace, then all of a sudden something happens in my life. And boy, I need to decide that I want to get rid of the sin that is in my life. And I don't know how, because I've tried to do everything I could do to be able to get rid of the sin in my life. And you've tried to do everything that you could do to get rid of the sin in your life. You've tried to work, and you've tried to pay, and you've tried to do all these things. Then all of a sudden, you're saying, hey, I don't know what else to do with this sin. But then all of a sudden, somebody says, hey, there's a nail. There's somebody that, glory to God, hallelujah. Amen. There's somebody there that can get rid of it. So you take a glory. Head and you get that robe of sin that's in your life. Can you hold a microphone for me? Glory to God. Thank you very much. Skinnier men would get out of their jackets faster. You take that sin robe of your life and you begin to take it off and you say, God, I've tried to do everything I could with it. I've tried to do everything. I've tried to pay people to get rid of it. I've tried to work to be able to get rid of it. I've tried to do everything that I could to get rid of it. But God, now it's all yours. I'm hanging it on the nail of grace, glory to God. I'm leaving it in the Holy of Holies. I'm leaving it in a spot where I can't do anything else with it. But God, you can. And what does he say? I'll take care of it for you. As a matter of fact, go get rid of it for me. Preacher, don't fire me, please, for getting out of my jacket on a Sunday morning. But boy, he takes my sin and he puts it, what? As far as east as from west. What does he do? He takes it and he puts it in a bag and he bottles it up and he gets rid of it. What does he do? He casts it into the sea of forgetfulness. What does he do with it? He gets rid. Hey, he taketh away the sin
of the world. Glory to God. When you put your sin on Jesus Christ, glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel like preaching now. You put your sin on the glory of God and hey, the nail of Jesus Christ, He will take care of that sin, get rid of it for you. And I'm thankful that now I've got a little nail there that is set in the holy place that's holding on to me. I'm not worrying about doing it myself because Jesus has taken care of it all. Amen. Boy, you have that access, but there's that anchor that's set there. This nail's been placed there. No man can pull it out. No demon of hell can pull it out. Nobody, no man can go ahead and get it. The demons of hell, the devil himself cannot go in there and pull that nail out. And I'm glad that I'm tethered on and I'm hangered on and I'm anchored to the anchor of my soul. You remember there's a song, simply put, there's a simple song that says, my hope is built on nothing less. Jesus' blood and righteousness. But then, he goes on a little further. In verse number 2, Brother Tom. Glory to God. The verse number 2 says it this way. When darkness veils His loving face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, listen to this. My anchor holds within the veil. So I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is my anchor, the anchor of my soul. And I'm anchored to Him. There's that fastener that is there for me. But then I want you to look at the very end of it. Look at the very end of it. Look at it. And give us a little what? Reviving in our bondage. Whew. Hallelujah. I know there's good times that's happening, but boy, there's bondage that happens, difficulties that happen. And all of a sudden, you just seem to get to where you're just a little bit down and out. And He's asking God, will you give us? And God says, I will give you a little reviving. I looked up that word reviving. This is amazing to me. It talks about, the word picture is kindling. Kindling. Why is it kindling? Why is that so difficult? Why is it? Now, most of us, back in the day, back in these days, most of us just go down to Home Depot or Lowe's or Walmart, and we get one of these little logs that says, we'll burn for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and it even crackles to make it sound like it's real wood. But it's fake. But this is talking about where they would make a fire. When they would begin that fire, where they start that, they would put a little kindling, those little small pieces of wood. And those little small pieces of wood were turned into glowing embers. Hallelujah. Those little embers would then light the rest of the wood. And the fire would begin to take place. That fire would be good. It cleanses. Glory to God. Fire helps you cleanse things and purifies things. And fire also warms you, gives you warmth and help during the time that you need. Boy, we're looking at this fire and He says, give us a little reviving. Give me some fire. Tired of being cold. Tired of being tired of having to fight tooth and nail to be able to feel anything. I need a little fire in my soul. And God says, I can do that. I can do that for you. Get that kindling out. Not that wet wood that's sitting out behind the house for a few days, but the real good small kindling that's nice and dry and it'll get started, boy, and then all of a sudden you get engaged with the fire. Why? Because you're asking, you're begging. Now this morning I want us to beg for, God, give me a little fire in my life. God, let me witness. Let me go out and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell somebody how good God is. Give me a little fire in my life. Psalmist said it this way in Psalm chapter number 85, verse number 6. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Then all of a sudden you go a little further down in Psalm chapter number 138, verse number 7. It says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me.
kennel me, set me on fire. Well, there's troubles everywhere, folks. There's troubles everywhere. But you can pray, God, start a fire deep down inside of my soul. Because I've got a fastener, glory to God. You can hold on to that. I can hold on to that, but thank God it holds on to us better than we can hold on to it. But then those embers of joy begin to take place. Now, I'll be completely honest with you. I'm not a very emotional man. Y'all believe that? I've got oceanfront property. I was waiting for somebody to finish it, and I didn't know. I don't know the words of that song. Oh, Brother Jim, I'm getting in trouble. But boy, those embers. What happens when you get a fire going and those embers are going? Now, see, this is amazing to me. We get a fire at our house. Heather loves to get in one of those big blankets and cuddle up next to the fire. The fire, not me, but the fire. She goes ahead and she's getting that fire and she says, she'll call and she'll say, Shane, the fire's starting to go out. The fire's starting to go out. I said, well, she said, I don't want to get under the blanket from out there under the blanket. So I go in there and I get that little tool that has that hook on it and the fire, and I begin to stir it up. And when I begin to stir it up a little bit, and then all of a sudden those embers begin to glow again. You know why? Because oxygen begins to be moved around all those embers. And then, Brother Noah, what's amazing to me is sometimes those embers, they will kind of fly up and out the chimney. You say, aren't you worried about that? No, I'm hoping something else catches fire somewhere else. Glory to God. Then if it gets really bad, I have to get down there and get to that. Hey, I like your socks, buddy. Those are awesome. Squirrel. Get down there and I have to go. All of a sudden, those embers start glowing brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. And then all of a sudden, the flame gets caught on and it gets home. But you know what? You know what I need, Brother Daniel? More than anything else, I want the embers of my joy to be breathed on. God Almighty can take his breath. Glory! And bring a revival in the midst of this place. What a wonderful, wonderful thought to know that God loves us and cares for us enough that He wants the embers that we have, and they may be going and growing dim, but then all of a sudden He all of a sudden I'm feeling the hair on the back of my neck stand up. All of a sudden, God moves in. Says, you know that fastener? You know that forgiveness I've given you? Now it's time to get a little fire in your soul. It's time to go ahead and see, there's three things that is common to all of these things. Forgiveness, the fastener, and the fire. What's common to all of them? You have to want and desire them. God will not force it on you. But if this morning you say, God, thank you for forgiveness. God, thank you for that fastener that I've got in the Holy of Holies, and you're holding on to me. Glory to God, I'm tethered to you. There ain't no way I can get out. But God, I want some of that fire. I want some of that fire right now in my life. I want you, God, to breathe on me, breathe on my soul, breathe on those embers and bring that joy into my life. You know, we can do that this morning. You know, you're in the perfect place
to do that this morning? I wonder how many of us want that fire. I wonder how many of us would be willing to just get up right now, start walking to this altar and say, God, I want the fire that Brother Shane's preaching about. I want to thank you for that fastener in the holy places. I want to thank you, God, for the forgiveness that you have given to me. Let's stand all over the building. Heavenly Father.